I had to. I'm sorry.
I know. Pay Baxter.
Heck.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. It is the trifecta, 590 WKZO. Jim, Roger, and it's brought to you by, in part, Theater Kalamazoo, home to more than a dozen producing theaters in Southwest Michigan. Visit theaterkalamazoo.com for a full listing of theaters and upcoming shows. By the way, one of those shows is at the Farmer's Alley, and it's called Life Can Be a Dream. Shaboom, shaboom. And I've talked to a few people that went to the show and absolutely positively raved about it.
Cool.
They said even they had to work through a minor technical difficulty, still did. Put on the and it's if you're really a fan of doo-wop music, it's a must-see. You have to go and see this.
I have a friend who talks about that theater all the time, not this play in particular,
but the theater in general,
and says that it is just top-notch.
Oh, yeah.
And that you can pretty much go to anything they do and expect high quality.
You know, and I've noticed in this area, we have an overabundance of above-quality theaters.
We have an abundance. I don't think overabundance.
Oh, okay. We have an abundance. It's nice to have them all here.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even going out to Augusta, where the Barn Theater is.
Oh, yeah. That's
you know,
local.
I mean,
yeah.
that's you know, it's a renowned.
That's here. Yeah.
But here in Kalamazoo, you know, with the Farmer's Alley and the New Vic and Civic and the Junior Civic and on and on and on. It's just, it's awesome.
Yeah.
So make sure you go to that, theaterkalamazoo.com, and check out all the stuff.
I got a deal to offer you.
Okay.
If you never play the dogs again, I will never harass you about your bumper music choices. Just think about it. It's a deal I'm throwing out on the table, and you consider it. See if it's to your liking.
Okay.
But I would be willing to never harass you about your music choices again.
Oh, boy.
If I never have to hear that dog thing again.
See, and that opens up a whole new can of worms in that I can find some of the sappiest bumper music in history just to tempt you. See,
yeah, but you can't punish listeners to screw with me.
No. Oh, yeah, I can. Well, I'm not going to punish listeners, but listeners will enjoy some of the music that I'm going to play. They never know.
Yeah,
they might
that'd
like
be
it.
A first. They don't enjoy. See, the deal is not in effect.
Yeah,
you haven't accepted. Okay, moving right
Keep
along.
Keep it up. We had a texter say the last caller was trying to make the point that Detroit has been run by Democratic local government for the last 60 years. So that's the point that our texter says Bill was trying to make.
Oh.
So
he was trying to say that all of the problems belong to one political party.
Well, the one political party is primarily responsible. I'm not
Bill,
sure.
Bill, that's a load of crap.
I'm not sure I believe that, but I think that it had something to do with. I think it wasn't necessarily the party; it was the person or persons who were in office and were allowed to run free, doing what they were doing.
Oh, and there was a whole bunch of their council members who
were allowed to run
wackos
free
and refused to do the right thing. But then the state reneged on agreements they made with Detroit. I think there's plenty of blame to pass around to everybody.
Oh, yeah.
It isn't just one party. And we're faced with a problem. Detroit can't go away. It's still got to be there, and it's still got to take care of business after it emerges from bankruptcy.
Yeah, that is true. All right, you ready to move on?
Yeah.
All right. The state of Michigan has sent out their latest informational analysis of educational finances.
Oh, I thought we were talking about leash laws next.
No. We'll talk about that in a few minutes.
Okay.
You can find the complete report online. It's called Bulletin 1014. What it basically does is ranks all of the school districts and charter schools in Michigan. And by the way, Roger, the number there is 797.
That's the number of school systems?
School districts and charter schools that are in the state of Michigan right now.
See, that's a part of the problem.
And they rank them by selective information, including what it costs to bus the kids, what it costs for administration costs, and what it costs to provide for instruction in the classroom. And these are specific expenditures. And as far as this area goes, The Michigan average, by the way, is $9,531 per pupil in the 2011-2012 school year. Every school district in this area, immediate area, with the exception of KPS, their number was below that 95-31 number. Kalamazoo, the average around, was around 89-79. Kalamazoo received, they spent a little over $10,000, so it's over the state average. And I mean, we could throw, and we've talked about this, our lies, damn lies, and statistics, and we've talked about this, you know, some of the other things. The apparently the big variance in money spent was in busing, transportation costs. The top rated one is the Climax Scotts Public Schools. They spent around $723 per student. And can I venture a guess about that?
Okay.
They're a rural school district, number one, but number two, their sports affiliation takes them to some far-flung places in there as far as their conference games go.
But
I mean, they go a ways.
Aren't they sort of a consolidated school district?
They are. They are indeed.
And consolidated school districts, by definition, are going to have higher transportation costs.
Yeah, because they're covering two different districts.
That's a downside to doing away with way too many schools in the state of Michigan. Too many entities. What I was found interesting in this data you're sharing with us is that teachers in Portage make $10,000 a year more than the teachers in Kalamazoo do.
Mm-hmm.
$10,000 a year difference.
$1,000. And by the way,
do Kalamazoo teachers need a better union?
I don't know.
I mean, they're making 10 grand less than their counterparts across that make-believe border at Kilgore.
Yeah.
Where you really can't tell you're going from one town to another. Teachers in Otsego make $3,000 a year more than teachers in Kalamazoo.
Here are the districts in the area where the average teacher salary is higher than Kalamazoo Public Schools. Going from the closest to the furthest away, Parchment, Comstock, Otsego, Schoolcraft, Vicksburg, Gull Lake, Plainwell, Mattawan, and Portage.
Yeah.
And then below Kalamazoo would be Galesburg, Augusta, Lawton, Pawpaw, Three Rivers, and Climax Scotts.
Now, who do you think gets the best teachers with that kind of variance in salaries?
I don't know, because I've never subscribed to the theory that just because you're paying more per teacher that you're going to get better teachers.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that's a real benchmark.
You hear that from a lot of Republicans. No, I'm serious.
I was just agreeing with you that there's
a whole political party that agrees with you on that.
I think
has nothing to do with attracting, and maybe you and I are examples of that.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah.
I understand.
Here's where I want to take Bulletin 1014. Okay. I know there are number crunchers out there, and there are number crunchers in the state of Michigan. Somehow you have to be able to take these numbers that occur in Bulletin 1014 and extrapolate them into meaning something when it comes to test scores. Because all I hear is, from one side, that you have to spend more money in order to get better results on evaluation tools. AKA, you have to spend more money per pupil to make sure that you get the best results kid-wise. And that's, I guess, what I would like to see some statisticians do. Take the numbers that are in Bulletin 1014, extrapolate them against the test results, and see exactly what districts are doing the best with the amount of money that they're doing. I know we just had a report about performance as far as a free and reduced lunch program. What about this? What does this do? That's what I would like to see, I guess. spend some money and find out if which districts are getting the best bang for their buck given what they spend on, you know, per pupil, and then match that up against the test scores.
But see, the problem is not all school districts are created equal.
Oh, I know that.
The demographics of each school district impact those results, and so I don't know that there's a straight line relationship between the dollars spent and bang for the buck in a school system. If you have a school system with lots of economically disadvantaged children in single parent homes, you're not going to get the results that you're going to get in a rich, affluent suburban community.
But aren't those who are crying that we've taken money out of education, aren't they saying you've got to put money back and get it back to certain levels? And that's where the crux is of the issue is. We have to, as the state of Michigan, we have to spend more money on education. And that seems to indicate to me that there is a direct correlation between how much money you spend per pupil and what your evaluation results
are. We've got a whole political party who is opposed to what you're saying.
Oh, I know.
The only thing they want to do is cut funding for education. And so there's a whole political party based on the opposite of what you're saying.
I know. I'm just saying it seems to me because that was the one side of this issue has been pounding away that we need more money, more money, more money. And I guess I would like to see some sort of correlation between how much money is being spent and what bang for the buck there is. And yeah, I understand that socioeconomic variables have to be added in too. But if you're going to make the argument that you have to spend more money in education in order to get more results, then this is the kind of thing that I would think you'd have to look at. How much money you're spending per pupil, how much are you getting for it as far as your evaluations go? But, you know, the thing is, like you and I have talked about, there's almost too many variables involved here to get an accurate count unless you do a massive statistical study. And I'm not sure we have enough people in Lansing to do that.
I don't know that we have people in Lansing I'd trust to do that.
Hey, Chris, what's up?
Oh, my gosh. You guys are without a keel today.
You're going to make me hang up on you, aren't you?
You might.
Well, all right.
We're without a keel. Is that a sailing reference?
That's a sailing term, yeah.
So answer
me this. Am I not correct when I say there is a group that says we need to spend more on education, and I would like to see where the bang for the buck is?
No, I agree 100% with that. I agree 100% with that.
Now,
But wait a minute. Chris, hold on.
But isn't there an equal-sized group in this state who wants to cut funding for education and have never met a cut in funding for anything they didn't like?
No.
Oh.
No. Well, wait.
There's nobody. There's no political party.
Do you think the Republicans want to cut education, or do you think they want a right-sized education? And that's what it comes down to.
I think they want to cut.
I
think they're only concerned that rich people's kids get a good education, and I don't think they care about anybody else.
Yeah, but see, that doesn't always pan out.
Why do you say stupid stuff like that, Roger?
That doesn't always
because the governor sends his kids to a very expensive private school.
The president sends his kids to a very expensive
private school. But he's not trying to cut education funding.
You know what? He killed the scholarship in Washington, D.C. that sent unprivileged school kids to that very same school. So you know, that doesn't make any sense. You want to blame one party for a problem that is so big that both the parties together in their stupidity can't fix it.
Oh, no, I would agree with that 100%. There is enough blame to go around in this issue.
Not to Roger.
I've heard Roger before say.
Roger just said only one party wants to cut funding, and it's not about cutting funding. It's about getting rid of programs that do not work. And you're right. You can't spend the same amount of money on a kid going to Richland as you can in Detroit or Battle Creek. Those kids, it wouldn't matter how much you spend on those kids if they don't come from an environment that is conducive to education, which means a place where they can go home and feel safe, work on their studies, you know, go to school the next day and know that everything's going to be stable. That's what a kid needs, and they won't get that. Doesn't matter what you spend on it.
Now, there's a couple of districts in this report that aren't in the Kalamazoo area, but they rank high up as far as revenues go. They, and this analysis, and I'm going to basically try to paraphrase this, as far as per pupil revenues, those districts that fund the best in the state of Michigan are primarily districts that are smaller, that have a large tax base, few students, and don't receive a lot of money from the state of Michigan, which would indicate that it doesn't matter how much money per pupil the state of Michigan provides. These districts don't have to rely on that. Now, the two that are on the list that they mention are Covert at number 9, New Buffalo at number 11. And why is that? Well, because they get money from Palisades. And I'm going to add something else in too, Chris, and then we got to run. But I'm going to guess that there are other districts like Hopkins, like Wayland, like Harper Creek. And the reason that they're going to have a higher per pupil kind of is because they're getting money from casinos. Well, and so that plays into it too.
Yep.
You don't have to take the state money.
My point is it's not one side. The left side wants to spend money stupid on education, and the right side wants to spend less money on education and focus it on where it needs to be focused. And it's blatantly stupid to say that one party wants to get rid of funding for education.
Well, I don't know if they want to get rid of it. They just like to cut. It appears that they like to cut. That's the problem.
They want a smaller, leaner government, which that would be to the benefit of the kids.
Chris, you know, I do agree with you that both political parties are to blame for the malaise of the country. And I agree with you, a pox on both of their homes. For different reasons, Democrats are aligned with unions too much, and the Republicans want to funnel too much money in profits into private industry. Both have their own perspective, and I agree with you, a pox on both. But Republicans do, in fact, have a war on public education in this country.
I don't agree with that at all.
Well, that's your privilege.
That's a big surprise.
Well, okay, well, you can be as wrong, too, Roger. I have to send my kids to school, too. My kids go to public schools. They're not going to go to private schools ever.
Good.
So why would I want to cut the services available? I may want to make that the amount of money that we spend more efficient, but I don't want to cut their services.
Okay, well, then you're not a typical Republican.
No, I am atypical. Well, I'm not a typical Republican. I'm a conservative.
I rest my case. You're not a typical Republican.
Well, you call me other things regarding Tea
Well,
Party.
I know, but that's because you guys call each other stupid, and that happens. So it does. So. All right, we got to run, Chris. And his heart,
see you, Chris.
He lives up to his heartbreak every time.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that I have to agree with Roger in one way, and that is that it comes across that Republicans sometimes come across as being a little belligerent towards, you know, cutting. At the same time, I'm going to say that Chris's theory or Chris's comment, I think there are some Republicans that they need to say it that way. We're not trying to cut education. We're trying to make sure that the money we spend on education is in the right way, at the right time, in the right place, and that we maximize the dollars. And I don't think anybody can disagree with that.
And they just want the money to go through Mosaica's pockets.
God, I hope not. Now, let me get this straight. If I don't play this ever again,
I won't harass you
won't
about
harass
bad
anymore.
Bumper music.
Well, I had to play it this time because we're going to talk about dogs and cats next.
So. In the future, there will be no exceptions.
if I decide to take the deal.
Yes, if you accept my magnanimous gesture. But you can play dog sound effects, but not
actually,
that song.
Actually...
I hate that song.
Did you hear clenched teeth there, Carolyn? Hang on. Do you hear clenched teeth?
Yeah, his blood pressure is
through the
roof right now.
Look at that
vein
there.
Popping out of his head.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we could always give you the cure that we found later or earlier today on Facebook.
What's that?
Tequila.
Oh.
Apparently, it's a cure-all for everything. It's like the duct tape for humans.
Okay.
Thanks, Alex Lee. He's my buddy. So thank. Oh, by the way, Dr. Sports is coming back later.
Really?
Yes, she is.
She going to dress up first?
No, she didn't have to dress up. She's a doctor. What the heck?
Oh.
you know. She's you won't dress me. Up and you're Mr. Sports. Jeez. All right, so let's talk about this because this is an interesting, you being the owner of a dog, you'd be a little prejudiced.
Actually,
here.
I have several.
State law pretty much limits, you know, leashes and you know, where they can doo-doo and what you have to do with it and da-da-da-da. If you own a cat, by the way, you do know that dogs have owners and cats have staff, right?
Yes.
Okay. Cats pretty much don't have, or owners of cats, don't have a lot of obligations. How do I know this? Well, because they used to have a cat. Well, four of them. And they can pretty much roam loose, you know. You don't have to buy a license for them. They don't have to have a rabies shot. Okay, mm-hmm. and they don't have to be restrained, which basically means, and you know, there's a PSA about this on Birdwatch on Saturday mornings about feral cats because they do have a tendency to attack birds and other creatures of the night.
Now, you know, there is a downside to the cat's lack of protection.
And what might that be?
That you can declare a cat to be a nuisance animal and dispatch it on your property.
Oh, really?
Or trap it, and because they do not have, dogs are property.
Okay.
And cats are wild animals.
Oh.
And so they are offered no protection under the law.
Well, according to the Michigan Humane Society, their stance is that if you're going, the safest place to keep your cat is inside.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people who do not. They have barn, you've heard of barn cats that do a very, 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 what do you call it, good job of keeping mice out of the grain and everything else. They do a nice job. Cats and dogs generally are hunters. Unless a lot of dogs are domesticated and, you know, they probably wouldn't do that well.
Oh, my dogs would chase deer if I allowed them to run loose.
I have a friend whose cat went out and found a rabbit's nest and decided to have a little fun. Now, I used to, in a previous life, used to have a poodle that would wait for squirrels to come in the yard and then chase them.
Yeah.
They do have that basic nature. But here's the thing. you don't license your cat. The Michigan Dog Law of 1919 pretty much, you know, what they wanted to do is prevent dogs from biting humans. And if I'm not mistaken, you can get away with it happening once, I think, depending on the situation. But if your dog happens to bite somebody at least two or has two dog bites against it, I believe they can destroy the animal. Even if it's on a leash or whatever, if it attacks, you know, if it has two attacks to its name, I think they can get rid of it. So, the culture is different for cats than for dogs. So, there's a possibility, maybe, that there are ordinances that may come out. Now, some towns already have strict ordinances for cats, but that's been considered before that you might have to put your cat on a leash. You might have to license your cat. You might have to get rabies shots for your cat.
Out east, the great majority of states require, because of the prevalence of rabies, require cats to be vaccinated. I don't know if they require them to be licensed, but they require rabies vaccinations for any animal that runs loose.
Yeah, now Frankenmuth. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Let me give you a short story, though. University of North Carolina wanted to do a study of great horned owls. The most common meal of great horned owls historically is skunks.
Okay.
They're the only predator that a skunk has. And as skunk populations have declined, they found the best place to study great horned owls was inside the city of Charlotte, North Carolina.
Huh.
Because the owls are being attracted to town because cats have become number one on the meal parade for great horned owls.
Wow.
And they're attracting far more great horned owls into the city than there is in the wild because it's the old country buffet of cats.
Wow. Well, that's an interesting story, I would say. Frankenmuth in Michigan has a very strict ordinance. You have to license cats, and if they're roaming free, the owner could get a fine, and the first one's $25, second one's $50, but it's $250 after that. Battle Creek, close to us, dogs and cats must be licensed, and any animal has to be on a leash a maximum of 8 feet long if traveling beyond the owner's property. So therein lies some places that they, cities Saline, Manchester, and Milan in Michigan all have ordinances as well. Frankenmuth, as we said, Battle Creek, as we said. So there are places where this occurs. It's just there is no statewide ordinance like the Michigan dog law.
Okay.
So, Fred, how are you?
Hey, good. I just want to let you know, in Michigan, the law is that a dog is not entitled to one bite.
Oh, really?
They are considered to have vicious propensities, and they do not get one bite before you can be liable if your dog bites somebody.
Wow. I thought it was two, but I wasn't sure. So I'm glad you corrected me. Okay.
Yeah, it depends on the state, of course.
That's, okay. I imagine that may different. Be under the Michigan dog law of 1919.
I wouldn't be surprised. That's been the law as long as I've been practicing, which is over 30 years.
And you're a vet?
Attorney.
Oh, attorney. Oh. Okay. Now, let me ask you this, Fred, before we go to break really quick. Are there some breeds that it's automatic? You know, in other words, you say you have a beagle that nips somebody as opposed to a pit bull?
No.
I mean, does that enter into it? Doesn't make any difference?
No, it doesn't make any difference. The only way it could enter into it is some breeds you're going to get more severe damages than other breeds.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, injuries,
right.
I should say.
Okay.
But the breed doesn't make any difference. Some come with their own reputations, obviously.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the call. We appreciate it, Fred. Always nice to get a legal opinion.
But you can make any animal vicious if you work at it
enough. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm interested in this because there is a pretty big discrepancy between dogs and cats in this state, and you wonder if it's going to change. So, never know. Hey, Raj, speaking of lawsuits.
Yes.
We might have one here brewing in the area. Did you know that?
Against me?
No.
Okay, good.
No. Did you bite somebody?
No, I'm just checking, though.
That's what I'd asked. All right. This is the Trifecta 590 WKZO. I want you to notice that I didn't play it again.
This is good bumper music.
Yeah, okay.
One of my favorite songs these days.
Yes, it is. 590 WKZO, it is the Trifecta. It's Roger, it's Jim. Brought to you in part by Lake Michigan Credit Union, the best place for your money. Learn more at lmcu.org. And Asthma Allergy Centers of Southwest Michigan. For the office nearest you, visit asthmaallergycenters.com.
Speaking of music,
yes.
Chris and I disagree on some things. But I talked music with him one afternoon. I think it was when we did the home show.
Yeah.
And
because he stopped by and said hi. It was
Chris
nice.
And I are on total agreement. Music-wise,
common ground there.
Yeah, we just don't agree on some political things.
Yeah, well, some. Yeah, saying
I was
some,
being charitable.
Saying some is like saying the Atlantic Ocean is damp, okay? Come on, give me a break.
Yeah, or the Atlantic and Pacific are separated somewhat.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can
you say lawsuit? Why do I get the feeling that we're going to get a lawsuit? Here's where we go. Go to WKZO.com. This story is on our website. Just so you know, this week, crews are going to enter North Hall, West Hall, and Speech and Hearing Building up on East Campus to do preliminary demolition work. Okay? Mm-hmm. They're going to take out the asbestos, other hazardous building materials. Man, there's some real money in that. I'm telling you, if I went and got my license to do asbestos removal and lead abatement and stuff like that, I could probably retire in about 5 years.
Yeah, you could also work at a nuclear plant.
I could.
Yeah.
I could. Maybe. You never know.
I'm just saying.
It's possible. And to salvage things that can be recycled. Now, what this means is that it's going to take about a month to get all this done. Okay? And that later this summer, the wrecking ball is going to come in, and the Speech and Hearing Building in West Hall are going to be one of the first two buildings to get torn down.
Where does lawsuit come to play?
Why
here?
Do I get the feeling that there are preservationists right now as we speak that are working on possibly filing suit using some sort of historic guidelines or whatever?
Who are they going
to prevent to sue? Western Michigan University.
Oh.
To keep Western from demolishing West North Halls and the Speech and Hearing Building.
Huh.
I mean, we are such a litigious society, and that's not to say one or good or bad, or mostly bad. But I'm wondering because how many times have we seen it where something like this would happen, and it's always a last gasp measure, and just before the bulldozer is supposed to hit, right? they file suit. So if they file suit now, obviously it wouldn't stop taking the asbestos and other hazardous building materials out. That's actually pretty good, because if you were going to renovate those buildings, you'd have to do that anyway. All right. And to salvage material that you would recycle. It's the tearing down of the building itself that I think people are going to be ticked off at. Well, they always have. I mean, have you driven around Kalamazoo and seen the signs?
Yeah.
All over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I mean, no, they're just everywhere. I'm just saying, and I'm not trying to provoke anything, but I am just saying that we are such a litigious society that I can't imagine there's not an effort being put forth that is going to file suit somewhere to prevent Western Michigan, at least temporarily, from knocking down those buildings. And it's going to happen soon.
Hmm.
And they'll just keep on going.
Want to bet lunch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll bet. Okay, hang on a second. Now, Carolyn, you're in the room. Do you want in on this, too?
Of course.
Okay. So what's your position? What do you think?
I'll take the one that wins lunch. I'll take that.
She's smarter than she looks.
And they said you were just a pretty face.
I'm telling you, she's smarter than she thinks.
Yeah.
All right, so what position are you taking, that they will not file suit? That's opposite mine, so I'm guessing that's what it is. I think they are going to file a suit. I think some group is going to file suit against the university to keep them and try to keep them as long as they can from tearing down those buildings.
And see, here I'm a property rights person, and I'm thinking that if they don't come up with money to help the university do something with those buildings, they need to shut up.
Okay, but you don't think that they're going to file a suit?
Well,
you're taking my...
No, I just... I'm hoping they don't.
Okay.
Now, I was just chiding you because you're so convinced that there's going to be a lawsuit.
I've lived in this town long enough.
And
I'm just
hoping that common sense prevails.
I'm telling you,
we don't spend all sorts of money in court.
There is enough of an undercurrent of historical preservation in Kalamazoo, and please don't misconstrue my comments. It's a wonderful thing because we have had wonderful buildings restored. We've had wonderful buildings saved.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with that. I really don't. I have some issues with some historical people. Like, for instance, the fact that you tell a homeowner what color shingles they can get. Now, mind you, if you want aqua, that's a little outrageous. But you should be able to get the color that complements your home, not the color that makes the historical committee happy. I'm aiming that at one specific person, but that's okay.
I think I heard that in your comment there.
But I'm just saying, we are such a litigious society that I can't imagine that the historical zealots in this area, those who are really, really steeped in preserving older Kalamazoo and keeping becoming a site on Facebook, being vanished Kalamazoo.
Uh-huh.
And I remind you, you might want to go up there and take pictures of those buildings just on the offhand chance.
Yeah.
That they're going to file suit. They're going to file suit. Now, here's my idea for money. Are you ready for this?
Oh.
If you're going
to
knock
a solution to the problem.
If you're going to knock down, okay, West Hall and a speech and hearing building and North Hall, they're made of brick, aren't they?
Yeah.
So you take the bricks and you sell them for $1. And all the money goes into historical preservation efforts in Kalamazoo.
Why don't you sell the bricks from one building and use the money to fix the other building?
I don't know.
There
you go.
I would prefer to see those buildings restored.
Okay.
If they could come up with a reasonable use for those buildings and they can be remodeled into accomplishing that new mission, I'm all for saving those historic buildings. But if there's nothing that can be done with them with their design, and the university doesn't have the money to do the major modifications that would be required, then I think it's time to let the university do with its property what it wants.
Now, university officials have said that it's impractical to save all of them. East Hall they can save, and they're going to turn that into the Alumni Center, which is cool. I really like that. I forget which hall it was that I had to go to get my cap and gown when I graduated from Western. Was it, let me think, okay, East?
Was it even built back then?
Shut up, you.
Do you have a sound effect for that?
No.
No.
As you go up the hill, it's the one on the right. That's East Hall. I think that's the one they're going to save. West Hall is the one that's it's up against Oakland Drive down the hill, and then down a ways, I think, is North Hall.
Yep.
And then the speech and hearing center is around the corner.
Sounds right to me.
All right. Hi, Chris. Chris, are you there?
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you. This is Steve, by the way.
Oh, Steve, I'm sorry. I'll smack Roger for typing a wrong name in.
Hey, that's okay. I don't mind. I thought one of the more brilliant ideas I saw recently was somebody said, why don't we put the Cooley Law School up there on the hill? You know, and I thought that was great because it has kind of a New England feel. You know, you look at those buildings and they're historic, and I think it'd be really classy for the Cooley Law School to be up there now that Western's affiliating with them.
That's not a bad idea. I mean, they're still going to have to tear the asbestos and everything out, that part of it, but I see that university says it's impractical. I'm wondering if the impracticability extends to utilizing the buildings as a school center. But that's an idea I haven't heard before. That's good.
You know, I think, to me, wouldn't it be cheaper than building a new building? I mean, I know asbestos abatement is really expensive, but, you know, when you look at an entirely new building and tearing out trees and whatever else, it would be better to use existing buildings instead.
Well, thanks, Chris. Steve. We appreciate it. It was Steve, by the way.
Yeah.
Why you type Chris, I don't know.
Because I thought I recognized his voice, and I thought it was Chris calling
in.
Oh,
okay. No, and, Steve.
Sorry about that, Steve.
That's not a bad idea. Carl, how are you?
Good. How are you?
All right.
I went to Western back in, like, the 80s, and East Campus buildings were in pretty sad shape back then. And I haven't been back there since, but I'm sure they're not any better now. I think it's time for them to go and put the land to better use. That's all I have to say.
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks, Carl. We appreciate it. Now, I know they've been in bad shape for a while because they haven't been used.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, I guess I would have to look at some sort of study, and university officials had to have gone through this. When they say things are impractical, I'm guessing they've done a study and say, is it cheaper to build a new building as opposed to renovating those?
Yeah. When I was going to school back in the late 60s,
when they used
early
70s,
those buildings were run down and decrepit then.
Yeah,
they were outdated.
When did you graduate from Western again?
71.
Oh, okay. Now, I'm going to go out, and again, I was little, but I wasn't around. If I'm not mistaken, weren't one or two of those buildings used for State High and University High?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Cubs.
No, I think North. No, North Hall was where I took business classes.
Okay.
Believe
was it,
it
East,
or not.
East Hall or one
but
of the two.
Sangren Hall was a much newer building, and that had to be torn down because the expense of rehabbing it to do a new job was more expensive.
Yeah. Well, guess what? Coming up next, Dr. Sports.
Dr. Sports.
Mr. Sports.
Ooh, in one place.
I'm telling you, you got them both. Coming up, it is the trifecta. This is one of my favorites, Raj.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is good.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It is the trifecta, 590 WKZO. We want to get right to this because we don't have a whole lot of time. Mr. Sports and Dr. Sports in the same show.
We've worked together.
We
worked Saturday morning. We're popular on that Saturday morning.
Yeah, you are. Carolyn Binder stops in. I had a couple of questions for you. First of all, quickly mention where you're going to be tomorrow and what we're going to be doing.
Tomorrow I'll be at Detroit Ford Field for Mac Media Day. We're going wall to wall, so I'll start with Lori and we'll go throughout the day. So stay tuned right here on AM 590 WKZO. If you missed any part of it, we'll have the replays actually on our sister station, 1660 The Fan, and the full recap will be on 1660thefan.com.
All right. Okay, quick question. Tigers, I hate the Royals. They just tick me off.
Yeah.
Not the Royals that had the baby,
right,
but the other Royals. And by the way, the other Royals in Britain had a boy. So just in
congratulations.
Case yes. It looks to me like the bullpen may not be sterling yet, but it's better than it was.
It's making positive steps forward, and actually thinking back, when you had asked me this question first, I'm like, kind of like, I don't know. But looking at the stats and just kind of watching the bullpen develop, particularly, I know it's early, excuse me, it's early, but the second half, they've been lights out. And yeah. I've talked to Dan Dickerson before the season started, and he said, you know, this is how Jim Leland is in his best managing. People might not like it. People might not like the idea that the Tigers don't have that go-to closer.
Mm-hmm.
But these are waters that Jim Leland as a manager has navigated before and been successful at, and we're seeing that happen. Now, the losses they took against the Royals had more to do with the Royals pitching and the lack of offense
yeah.
more than anything else.
Now, Joaquin Benoit, 6-for-6. The last six times he's been given a ball to save,
stats
he's
don't
perfect.
Lie. Yeah. And that's
Drew
one
Smiley's doing a great job.
Yeah.
Phil Koch is doing a great job because he's on the bench.
Exactly.
Albuquerque's a little flaky, but he always has been kind
of. Yeah, I think the rest of the bullpen is doing a good enough job that yeah. that's all right.
And Rondon is talking to Benoit. He's talking to the pitching coaches, and he's learning
more of the nuances.
You know, don't
he's
try to
making
blow
more
the ball
of the positive steps forward in the growth that we would like to see if he were to be a closer or to be a strong bullpen contributor.
Now, is offense going to ever pick up? I mean, not just Cabrera and Fielder, but I mean everybody.
This is the same heart attack we started with last year.
I'm telling you,
at this time
on paper, this team should be so far ahead that it's pathetic.
I agree,
but you know, this is a big
four-game
series.
Yeah, Fielder and Cabrera can't do it on their own. Everyone knows that. They know that. And so this is a huge series because the White Sox, I'll go out there and I'll throw this bold prediction out there. The White Sox are a sweepable team far and away.
Yeah.
And if the offense is going to pick up and pick up in a big way, this is the team to do it again.
So do you agree, Mr. Sports?
Yes.
Just say yes. Okay, thank you.
Just say yes.
Yeah, just say yes.
You were busy. It's okay.
Carolyn is always right.
Yes. Yeah, well, yeah.
Wow.
As far as I know, she is, yeah.
I got a few people you can tell that to at my house.
Hey, had a listener call in and says that any building over 100 years old automatically gets protected either in a federal or a state law.
Oh, well.
We're going to have to do some research and talk about that tomorrow.
All right. It is a trifecta. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Coming up next, 5 o'clock afternoon news, 590 WKZO.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO, Kalamazoo.